This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And Bob is Bob Shorey, one of the MZSEs here at Tab. He comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC are the numbers. And we will do our best to help you out with any of your technology questions you might have. And, of course, you can follow us on Facebook over at WTIC's Facebook page. We are broadcasting live over on Facebook from their page. And everything we talk about will be posted live by Mike G over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. And so, Bob, as usual and customary, we do talk about technology news. Did you find anything this week of interest?
Yeah, I found a few things. This is a CNET article.
Yeah.
You ever hear of Zoom fatigue?
Hear of it. I live it.
Okay. Well, Zoom fatigue is apparently a real thing.
It is.
And there are four main culprits.
Mm-hmm.
It's not your imagination. All those hours of video calls take a toll on your brain and body, or take more of a toll on your brain and body than regular office work.
Yep.
Now scientists say they know why and what to do to avoid it.
All right. What do you got to do?
So you don't have to apply for hazardous duty pay. Yeah. If you've ever felt utterly drained after workday, even though your most strenuous physical activity involved smiling through seemingly endless video calls,
mm-hmm.
Stanford researchers now have a name for that feeling, Zoom fatigue.
Yep.
Okay. Although the scientists behind the new study, published February 23rd in the Journal of Technology, Mind and Behavior, are quick to point out that it can happen on any video calling platform.
Sure.
They now say that they have a better idea why Zoom fatigue happens.
Mm-hmm.
Researchers say Zoom fatigue has four main culprits: excessive and intense eye contact,
sure,
constantly watching video of yourself,
yes,
the limited mobility of being stuck at your desk, and more energy spent identifying social cues you'd otherwise pick up on intuitively in person.
Makes sense to me.
The research also suggests strategies to counterbalance the negative physical effects of video calls. Make the on-screen window smaller to minimize participants' face size, and get some distance from your webcam to increase your personal space bubble.
All right.
Hide your self-view video feed.
Definitely.
And periodically turn off your camera, then physically turn away from the screen so you're not watching others. So, we'll post a link to this.
Well, yeah, it's all real. I mean, you just think about the old Saturday Night Live character, was Stuart Smalley, right? He was on there saying how, you know, talking in the mirror and saying how great he was, a little self-affirmation. But when you're looking at yourself constantly in the screen, it's got to mess with you, man. It's got to mess with how you speak, how you talk. You know, I didn't know I looked that way when I talked. It's definitely a problem, and just constantly concentrating on the screen. I try, and even some of the coworkers here in our office, we try to actually, you know, not see what, you know, the other folks on there. I purposely try to focus on the material we're talking about and not the people. I'm trying to use just audio cues, but yes, you can't get any of the interpersonal cues anymore.
Well, I hate looking at myself on video, number one. I have a face for radio now.
No, you don't, Bob. You're a geek.
And the other thing is I can't sit. That's why I like being a road tech, because I can't sit and, you know, be there. I have to get up and walk around.
And be around,
otherwise,
yeah,
you know, like, I mean, I just...
No, I hear you.
You know, what you call it, you know, and then I get, you know, like leg cramps and things like that.
Yeah, imagine being a kid doing your classwork. My kids are doing, you know, UConn work, sitting in their rooms, staring at a screen.
Yeah.
I mean, I know they grew up staring at screens and shouldn't be a big deal, but gosh, you know, this has got to end quickly.
Well, it's different when it's work.
Yeah. Yeah. Work. Well, work or school, too. School is work.
Well, you know, when you're doing play, you know, you do physical things that, you know what I mean, you aren't doing at work. So, for instance, you know, you can jump up and down and scream and say, yeah, I did it. And
right,
things
right.
Like that, you know.
That's true. Yeah, it's true. It's a real thing, guys. We all know about that. It's a real thing. Here's some interesting news, and I couldn't believe I saw it. This is something that came up last week, and another cell company is also talking about this. After spending $45 billion on 5G licenses, Verizon tells customers to, what do? They want you to turn off your battery, turn off your 5G to save battery life. So Verizon is advertising customers not to access its 5G network for the sake of their phone's battery life. Mere days after spending all that money. And believe it or not, other companies are saying the same thing. T-Mobile just came out with the same warning. Turn off your 5G because it's killing your battery. And again, a point of 5G, you know, they talk about it in the all the commercials. Hey, real fast internet for your cell phone. You don't need it. There's nothing you can't stream on the lower speeds on your cell phone that you couldn't stream anyways. So the 5G for your cell phone is kind of, as far as I'm concerned, kind of useless. 5G is a beautiful thing as far as a broadband wireless connection so that more and more devices can be connected. That is definitely a good thing. But you don't need that speed to do your texts or your Instagrams or your Facebooks or whatever you're doing. You don't need all that speed. So, of course, it's killing your battery on top of that. So you can't make it up, folks. As they keep pushing all these things, they then tell you, hey, it's killing your battery, so turn off 5G. Now, I'm not so sure why they care that much about your battery. Why does Verizon care about your battery so much?
Well, you know, if they don't update the firmware, you know, they can sell more iPhones.
I guess. I don't think Verizon... Well, that's true. Well, yeah, they do. They do sell them. They give them away, practically. So we'll see what happens with this, but you know, it's a big issue if you're chewing up battery life for something you don't really need in the first place. And in other news, John McAfee, crazy John, he faces new federal charges over alleged cryptocurrency schemes. Former antivirus exec has found himself in more legal trouble. So basically, after getting indicted for tax evasion last October, they have unsealed an indictment charging McAfee and Jim Gale Watson, an executive advisor for his so-called cryptocurrency team, with conspiracy to commit commodities and securities fraud. I mean, as far as Bitcoin goes, I've always told you it's fake money. But now that fake money is worth $50,000 a coin, 50,000 real simoleons, real dollars, per fake coin. And, you know, all these pump and dump technology, you know, things that are happening with Robinhood and all these others, I'm not surprised guys like McAfee are getting into this type of pump and dump technology, or pick a coin and here you go. His cryptocurrency team allegedly raked in more than $13 million from investors they victimized with their fraudulent schemes. And of course, people are being warned, you should be wary of social media endorsements of investment opportunities.
Well, I don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, you're not on social media. So yeah, be careful out there, guys. I mean, if your college kids come home and start talking to you about a stock, you have two choices, right? They could be right, or they're the suckers and they don't even realize it. So just be careful out there when it comes to this stuff, especially when you get a guy like McAfee who's been kind of a peculiar character since he came on the scene. He's trying to swindle you too. Everyone's out there to try to swindle you. So
everybody wants a piece of the pie.
Yeah.
It just makes a difference on how they get it.
Yeah, right, exactly. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. We are live. Feel free to get online, 1-800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Usually the first hour is slower, wide open. We have four lines wide open on this lovely Saturday. So we're here to help you out. Feel free to give us a ring. Also, I want to bring up Bobby C. We talked about Bobby C. last week and how he was dealing with his incumbent broadband provider trying to offer him more broadband. Well, he found one. Guess who's out there doing some serious fiber, not just Go NetSpeed.
Not who you'd expect.
Frontier. So Frontier is going to give Bobby C. 500 up, 500 down for $59 for a year. Again, I don't know how much it's going to cost afterwards. No data caps.
So they go from, I'm going to say, number last place,
right,
to second place.
Yeah, second or first. 500 up, 500 down. Again, he doesn't need that much bandwidth, but for $59, why not? So maybe the folks who go NetSpeed are actually producing this competition with these other companies. They're saying, all right, I guess we got to start improving our network. We've got competition in the area.
Well, I think we've got a choice. We can either provide competition, or go out of business.
Yeah, there's that. Because poor Bobby C. was on DSL before he had this opportunity. And he happened to just walk down the road. He saw they were running fiber lines in his neighborhood. And he's like, hey, what are you guys doing? And, oh, we're Frontier. We're running some lines. It's like, great. So just in time for Bobby C., he's going to get 500 up, 500 down for $59. So I would tell you to consider other folks out there. You might be surprised at what's coming down your road. There's more fiber being run than you'd think.
It may be on your street already. And if it's cheaper than your current
cable
service.
Yeah, cable's not doing a good job price-wise. Yeah. So that's good news. So if you're free to get online, guys, we have four lines wide open for you. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're here till 11 o'clock. We are live. Feel free to get online. Four lines open for you, wide open on this Saturday morning. And we're here to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. So feel free to get online, and we'll do what we can to help you out. As we're waiting for your calls, there's some more news I wanted to bring up. Apple is taking action against Silver Sparrow malware, which was discovered on 30,000 infected Macs. Now, of course, the Apple people are out there saying, well, you know, 30,000 is not that many Apples. You know how many Apple devices are out there, Eric? Well, it's been confirmed in 153 countries, and this new malware can also target the M1 Macs, which are designed, supposed to be even more malware protected. The thing about this malware is they're not really sure what it does. It's kind of just sitting out there, and they're not really, you know, it doesn't exhibit any behaviors that they've come to expect from the usual adware that often targets Mac OS systems. It's just kind of sitting there. But to have 30,000 devices detected across 153 countries, again, be concerned, don't be concerned. I've heard folks say, oh, Eric, it's no big deal. It's only 30,000. Well, I mean, COVID started with, what, a couple of sneezes? you know, the way these things spread around, you know, this is how, you know, these viruses move around. You know, just because 30,000 have been detected, it doesn't mean everyone's got access to everyone's Apple to find whether or not you're hit with it. So my point is, though, make sure you have some sort of antivirus protection on your Apple Mac device. Don't just assume that everything is good and safe on your Apple device. So, you know, that's one of the things that you know, being lulled into that false sense of security is something you got to be careful with. So let's go to your calls here, Bob. Go ahead and refresh the screen so we see what's going on here. We're going to go to Margaret. Margaret on the cell phone. What's going on, Margaret? Margaret, you there?
Yes, I am.
What can we do for you?
Oh, thank you very much. I listen to you every week. Most of it is over my head, but I am learning.
Good.
I don't know the difference between 5 megabytes, 7 gigabytes, and 300 triglycerides.
No sweat. We'll try to help you there, Margaret.
Well, listen, I'll tell you. Last week I listened to you talking about cell phones.
Yeah.
This is what I need. I have a landline, and I'm not getting rid of my landline.
All right.
The reason I need a cell phone is for simply this. Mm-hmm. I need to have it in my car, you know, for emergencies.
Sure.
Call AAA or whatever.
Yeah.
And now I also need it, if I go to the doctor or the dentist, you know, you have to park outside.
Yeah, that should be changing soon, but yes.
And you have to call in.
I know.
You know, or you got to get out and go bang on the door.
Right.
So that's what I used to have track phone.
Yeah.
But with a track phone, every month, you've got to add minutes. Well, I quit it finally because I ended up at like 300 minutes.
Right.
That I wasn't using, and it went on and on and on.
Hmm.
So I did hear you last week, as I said, talk about cell phones.
Sure.
I want to know, what do you suggest is the best that I get for the circumstances that I want it for? I don't spend my life on a cell phone.
I hear you.
You know?
Yeah.
I need it for those circumstances.
Right. Consumer Cellular seems to have a good option for folks in your situation. They have a very inexpensive, it's going to be a monthly program, but it's designed for pretty much what you're talking about. We can put links up there from Consumer Cellular. That's one of the ones I'd recommend.
As far as I heard you say last week, you pay like $27.
I pay like $21 for my service. So the problem with that is if you don't know a megabyte from a triglyceride, you might get burned on that. So with my cell service, it's called Google Fi, and basically I turn off all the background updating of the apps on my phone. So you have to be able to understand how to turn that stuff off and prevent the phone from leaking data out of it and charging your account that way. So with Consumer Cellular, I think they're more designed for exactly what you're looking for, and those things don't really have to be a worry for you.
Now, another thing I don't understand is with Consumer Cellular, I buy the phone, and then I buy the plan.
You're going to have a plan. You have to pay for something monthly.
Yeah. And then I buy the phone, too.
They probably have phones they recommend. Again, I don't work for them. I just have anecdotally heard their offerings, and they do seem to fit what you're asking for. So I would tell you to do a little investigation on that.
Okay.
We're going to put a link up here for you as far as what's out there. But there's some pretty inexpensive plans, right, Bob? Like $20 a month, I'm saying.
Now how do I get to your link, to your site?
It's computertalkwithtab.com, the name of the show.com, which also works.
Computer Talk.
With Tab.
With what?
Tab, T-A-B.
T-A-B?
Yep. .com.
Oh, okay, because I tried to look you up before and I couldn't find you.
Oh, my goodness. Uh-huh. You don't know. You must be having trouble with triglycerides and gigabits. You can also go to tabinc.com, which is the name of our company.
There's
a T-A-B, tabinc.com, and then there's a link right there for Computer Talk.
Oh, that's very good to know. Now, the other thing I want to ask you is about printers.
Okay.
I had a... which I've gotten rid of is I had bought years ago, quite a few years ago, an Epson printer.
Yeah.
And I bought it. It was very, very inexpensive, maybe $69. It was a disaster.
Right. Yeah, so you got to be careful. Don't spend too little on a printer.
Yeah, you're right. You get what you pay for, though.
You kind of do. I had an interesting discussion with an eye doctor about computers and what you get, and you get what you pay for. So it comes down to... getting a printer that doesn't make all its money on the ink. So Epson was simply hoping you're going to spend a ton of money on the ink.
And I did.
Yeah. So we can.
And also, it bunched up constantly. Bunched up.
Right.
You know.
How much printing do you do, Margaret? What do you print for? What do you print?
Well, I mostly print. Well, I was in criminal justice.
Yeah.
So I printed a lot of stuff out for that. But the double-sided didn't work properly. Constantly jammed.
Yeah. So nowadays, laser printer is going to give you that capability. If you don't need color, you can probably get a very inexpensive laser printer these days that'll print double-sided. Inexpensive is relative. I will say in the $200 range, maybe $250.
Yeah. Would you say like an HP or what?
Yes. I would stick with HP. They've been the biggest name in printers forever.
Mm-hmm.
And you should be able to find, if you go to like a Staples, you should be able to find an option there that'll do laser and double-sided fairly inexpensively.
Oh, okay. Around $200, then?
$200, maybe $250.
Yeah.
But you'll pay for it once, and that printer will last you. I mean, we have got clients with HP printers that have gone decades.
Yeah.
They're built pretty well.
The one that I had was just horrible, absolutely horrible.
Yep.
In fact, there's an electronic collection maybe next week or whatever. I'm sending it to electronic.
Oh, yeah, get it recycled. Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing I want to ask you is I got a new computer. The computer itself is, how do you pronounce it?
I don't know.
Levelo?
Lenovo.
Oh, right, yeah, Lenovo.
It's a Chinese company, yes.
Yeah, and that was highly recommended to me.
All right.
And also, but the monitor's in HP.
Okay, sure.
Which is wonderful.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, the on Microsoft Edge.
Yeah.
On my last computer, there kept coming up an alert in red.
Yep.
That said, click on this to repair blah, blah, blah. Well, I never did. I just turned the computer off.
Okay.
Why does that happen?
Margaret, I don't have enough time in the show. We're coming up against the hard break, but we can give you. We're gonna put you. Let you go, but we'll try to answer that question off air when we come back from the break. Is that okay?
Oh, that's fine. You want me to hang up?
Well, we're going to have to do that for you because we're running out of time, but we're going to try to answer that for you after the break. Okay, Margaret?
Yeah, because I have friends who want to know that too.
You got it.
Thank you very, very much.
You're welcome. We'll be right back.
Bye.
And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab in the hermetically sealed studios here in lovely downtown East Hartford, connected over the internets to Farmington, where Matt Soroy, or Sorois, however you say it or play it, is over there as our producer, connecting you guys up. And we're connected back with a website where we're trying to figure out who's on the phone, and Matt's type that all in. It's really a pain in the hiney, but it's been working for a year.
Well, who's on first?
I don't know. I know. I don't know who's on first. So Margaret, before she left, had a very good question. And the question has to do with this. Well, Bob, why don't you talk about it? This red error that was popping up on her Edge browser. Right, Bob?
Yeah, it's a red screen warning. We actually put a link up to that from Microsoft.
Right.
And what it is, it's a... It's a red screen appears saying that a virus has been found and to call Microsoft to get it removed. And they had sent in this, is this real or fake? And the answer is, that's a tech support scam pop-up.
Right.
It's annoying, but not potentially fatal unless you fall for the scam.
Right. So you have a browser hijack on your Edge where these guys are, you surfed somewhere. And you got this injected into your browser. Go ahead, Bob.
Right. So usually you can close down the browser without issue, though sometimes you need to close it using Task Manager occasionally.
To kill it, yeah.
Yes, because and sometimes it puts up a box in front of your screen and you can't get by it.
Right.
But the way you can get by it, I've done this from experience, is you hit Control-Alt-Delete and you hit Task Manager.
Right.
And then you kill your browsers.
Right. And now you do. Now you got to clean your browser, right? Because if you've got it, it's going to keep coming back.
The first thing you want to do is run a scan. But usually if you kill it before you click on it,
that'll do it.
It's usually gone. But I always run a scan after that anyway.
Right. So Malwarebytes would be a good malware scan. So Margaret had a good question. And she said other people had this issue, which, again, these folks are preying on people to try to have, you know, hey, this is Microsoft. We're here to help. No, there weren't Microsoft. These are folks over in the third world. You place a call. They connect to your system remotely. And then they start poking around, showing you how your system has got all sorts of problems, which it doesn't. Microsoft has all sorts of problems and errors, which is just natural to Microsoft. And so when they show you all those errors in the logs, they're like, hey, look, we're going to clean this up for you. Give us your credit card for $350 and we'll do it. And then who knows what else they're doing inside your system. So don't ever fall for that scam. So I'm glad Margaret brought it up.
Yeah, and maybe you'll call them back and give them another $350.
Yeah, it's awful out there, so be careful. All right, let's get to more calls here. We're going to go to Ed in West Hartford next. What's going on, Ed?
Morning, gentlemen. How
morning.
Are you doing today?
Good. How are you, sir?
Fine, thank you. I have two quick problems. I have a Samsung S8 Android.
Yep.
And this morning I went to cancel one photo in my pictures, and about 30 got canceled, so...
Deleted, you mean?
I quickly hit cancel instead of delete. Mm. And now the phone, without my input, has configured my photos into anniversary, cartoons, boats.
And, oh, it's organized it for you.
As to how to explain that.
Yeah, so your pictures got organized in a way you weren't happy to have them organized in.
It was not through my input.
Well, you know, it's
so
a feature.
I just, is there a way to get out of that?
Depends on where you're looking at it. So this is within that little photos circle,
yeah, so
right?
Like when I go to my pictures, I have camera, two camera, screenshots, downloads, so on and so forth.
Right.
And then when I go to camera, it gives me these various options, which I've never had since I had the phone.
Correct, right. Now this is in Google Photos, right?
Correct.
Yeah, so they've given you the way to set up or configure it, and they're always modifying how that works out. You know, camera, screenshot, messages. I have the exact same scenario in my Pixel. How to have
you get back the photos that I did not want to delete?
Well, Maybe.
Maybe. That's more encouraging than no.
Yeah, I'll give you a maybe. You should be able to go to the utilities option here within your phone, and you should have the ability to, you can move photos to archive, which you probably didn't do. You can manage your photos, so maybe within the manage I'd have you take a peek. I have not done this. Yeah, well, it's within the actual utility itself. It's within Google Photos itself. We can put some links up to some using Google Photos. This thing updates constantly. What version of Android are you even running? It could be different than mine completely.
I know. It's Samsung. Internet.
Well, it's Samsung, but you're going to have a version of Android that you're running. And that version of Android is going to run the Google Photos. And then within Google Photos, it'll have its own configurations.
So this was done without my input, obviously.
Yeah. This is how they, help you.
Yeah, this is new this morning. I know. Welcome to Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, you can do all sorts of stuff within Google Photos. And I assume you're in there with that little pinwheel, icon on your screen?
I'm not sure, to be honest with you.
Fair enough, because you could be within some sort of Samsung gallery. Photos.
Okay, when I go to gallery, it brings up the aforementioned categories.
Gallery, yeah. And for me, I've got libraries, so you might be in something completely different than me. I might be not helping you at all. Is there a Samsung tool there, Bob? We're trying to find this tool.
I haven't found it yet.
Unfortunately, we don't.
My other quick question. I'm sure you have some other callers now. I tried to put some things on Facebook Marketplace. I'm on Facebook.
Yeah.
And it won't let me upload photos. It keeps saying that your photos won't upload. Try again. And I try again, and it doesn't upload.
How big are these photos?
Not big. Just like a picture of a car or a wine rack, that I took with the phone.
Well, how much do you want for the car?
Them. What's that?
How much do you want for the car, Ed?
Okay. It's a beautiful Olds Intrigue.
Really? Nice.
70,000 miles of 99.
There we go.
Anyway.
Get the tag sale going.
I can't seem to upload the pictures from my phone, and that's a curiosity. There's nothing on Facebook. I went to the help thing. There's nothing.
So what I would tell you to try then is to try to do it from your PC. Sometimes these pictures are not physically where you think they are.
Okay.
And the photo may not actually exist on your phone, but just a thumbnail of the photo does. And getting it from point A to point B is not occurring because the photo is not really on your phone. So my thought would be to have you send the photo in an email to your PC, an attachment, just as a test. See if it goes as an attachment, and then try to upload it from there. From within Facebook that way. You might have better luck.
Okay.
It makes sense. We'll see. And now, as I was chatting with you, there is a lot that has changed in the gallery view in Samsung. This is not the Pixel thing I was talking about. Samsung has its own layout. So we're going to put a link up here for you to show you all the changes that have occurred with the Samsung Galaxy layout. That's probably caused your problem, and maybe it'll give you some clues as to how to better understand what happened there. You found something too, Bob?
Yeah. How to delete and recover photos in Android.
Well, yeah, we'll put that link up there for you too. But this is within Samsung, so maybe these two things will help you. But clearly, it's a photo issue on both sides of things. So try to send it to yourself. Try to upload it through your PC. If it works, then there's an issue wherever you're trying to send the source material from your actual album is not where you think it is. That's why Facebook is failing, because they won't not let you do it. It's probably just not where you think it is.
Yeah, because there's another site next door. It's like a local neighborhood website.
Yeah.
And they also have Classified. And I can put photos on there from my phone. I just can't do it on Facebook Marketplace, which has a much broader appeal.
Interesting. And the same pictures?
Same pictures.
Well, now that blows my whole theory.
I don't know. It must be a Facebook issue then.
It could be, yeah. You may not be able to fight City Hall. There might be a limit on either the size, the resolution. Maybe you're sending something up that's too large. Who knows? But you may want to look at the resolution requirements of these pictures that you're sending, because there must be some sort of limit.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll try that anyway. Maybe Facebook would rather take them off my PC than the phone. Who knows?
Who knows? Give it a shot and then just check the resolutions.
All right. So is the link at tabcomputer.com?
Tabinc.com or computertalkwithtab.com. We'll have these two links about your Galaxy View that might give you some clues as to what happened to your layout.
Okay. I really appreciate it, you guys. Have a wonderful day.
Hey, you too.
Thanks. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
The name of the show.
.com
also works.
Which also works. yeah, I mean, all these different versions of software, it's impossible. I mean, it's impossible to know why or how or what these guys are doing. And I mean, this Pixel, the update on the photos, it's a nightmare. Constantly changing how you look at your photos. And of course, they want to sell you stuff within the actual app. You can go ahead and print out different albums, and they'll start connecting you to charges and fun things there.
Well, they're not charging you for the photos you take.
No. Not yet.
But they want to.
Yeah, not yet. So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. We're going to step out for a quick break. Chris, Keith, hang on. There's a couple lines open for you. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll be right back. We're back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. I got some information, too, on can't upload photos to Facebook, and I took a look at it. And for some reason, they want you to download the latest version of Adobe Flash. Adobe Flash is dead. But that's what's on Facebook's page here. Of course, make sure your picture is not 15 megabytes. With anything under that is better. They want you to get out of all other browsers while you're doing this. Try uploading a different type of photo. There's a whole bunch of things they suggest, but the weirdest thing is download the latest Adobe Flash, which really shouldn't be used at all. All right, let's get back to your calls. We're going to go to Chris somewhere out there in Connecticut. What's going on, Chris? Chris, you there? Chris?
Oh, I think he's having a server problem.
Yeah, I don't know what he's having. Chris, you there? His phone sounds horrible. Guess Chris is not there. We'll put him back on hold, I guess. We'll go to Keith in Manchester next. What's going on, Keith?
Hey, Eric. How are you?
Good, sir. How are you?
I'm doing fine. So I've taken one step to save on cable based on your advice.
Yeah.
And I have a Comcast plan, and I have voice, internet, and cable, and I bought my own modem. So I'm saving on that rental. But, you know, I think I want to go the route of just getting it down to the bare minimum, maybe going with Ooma or Magic Jack.
Yeah.
I need to boost the signal in the house, a lot of things. But you know what? I want to know the step-by-step. What do I need to do? For example, since I have a 3-in-1 modem, I guess that's what it's called when you have voice, internet, and cable.
Yeah.
Do I need to buy a new modem? Do I need a router? Do I physically hook up the Magic Jack or Ooma to the place in the house where the phone line comes in? You know, all the nuts and bolts. What do I have to buy? What do I have to do?
Okay, yeah, sure. Start with Ooma, because that's the easiest thing to get rid of is your phone line from your cable provider. So you're going to buy Ooma, and you're going to buy a little box that's going to connect to your internet network. It'll connect to your existing router now and your existing modem technology. And you can still – then it'll connect to the network itself, because you can buy these little Ooma phones that'll allow – these are all IP phones that'll connect to the Ooma box for you. And okay. You'll be able to port your number away from the cable company over to Ooma. And so now you've cut one thing away, and you're going to get the free service from Ooma, which all you do is pay for the federal taxes on your phone line. Now you're done paying for your phone line.
Okay.
Then the next step is to get a proper modem for your cable service. If it's a, you know, is it Comcast or Cox?
Comcast.
Okay. So go to your neighborhood, you know, Staples or Best Buy, that's within your area, and say, hey, I'm looking for a Comcast-capable modem. They'll provide the proper modem for you, and you'll need a router. So getting a router, you know, a couple $100 for a router. You can get a Linksys router is what I recommend, but there's all sorts of other routers out there. Asus makes a nice one, too. Netgear, all sorts of brands. Depending on the size of your home, how big is your home? Square foot?
About 3,000 square foot.
Okay. So if you locate your router somewhere maybe in your living room, central to the home, you'll have a good broadcast area for your bubble, right? Your wireless bubble you're going to create. And you have your modem probably coming in from your basement, I assume.
Yes. Yeah, but the physical device right now is in an upstairs, the farthest away from where we usually use it, of course. So it doesn't matter where I place that. I can place that anywhere in the house. The modem
goes right where the cable line comes in your basement.
Okay.
And you can run a Cat6 cable from your modem to wherever you're going to place your router. And we would suggest you place it somewhere central in your home so that you get a good broadcast.
Okay.
And then...
That seems like it solves the problem of my signal in the house, too, because if I put it in a better location, maybe that solves that problem.
It really does. The internet has got to come out of the basement. This has got to be a primary appliance in your home. You know, just as important as Mr. Coffee should be your wireless router. Okay. Everyone should pretty much come to your home and say, "Wow, you've got a lovely router, Keith."
Like a great compliment.
Exactly. Now you're going to solve your internet issues, and you're going to take that hardware and give it back to Comcast, and they're not going to be able to rent it to you anymore. And then you're going to cut your cable television service and stream your TV to a device like a Roku or an Apple TV or an NVIDIA Shield or a Google Chrome. There's so many devices you'll be able to plug into your HDMI port on your TV and load the apps and stream your content. So those are the quote-unquote steps generally to cut the cable.
So can I go backwards a little bit when you said the modem? So right now in my house, the modem is plugged in, like I said, upstairs where my desktop is. You're saying that the modem now, this device, this piece of hardware, will be in the basement where the line comes in.
Right.
And when you say run a physical Cat5 cable, that's probably what's already in my house, right?
It could be. Yeah. Well, if you have Cat5 cable in your home, you're lucky. And if you can have the modem connection with a Cat5 cable up to where you're going to put that new router nicely prominent in your home, that's going to give you your network. Now you've got your network. And that's really the key here is to – everyone's got to really think about where they're going to locate that router. Sticking it in the basement in the corner is a bad spot.
Right. And mine is in the upstairs in the end of the house. Which
also a bad spot.
Yeah, right. So when you talked about the steps of doing the phone service, obviously you're saying switch over, port that phone number first, get that all squared away.
Yeah.
Then call Comcast and say, I don't want to pay for a phone anymore.
Yeah, the moment you port it is the moment they'll stop charging you because the number literally leaves their network and they can't charge you for it anymore. So you almost don't even have to call them. They have to stop charging you by default.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, once you port a number away, the company is notified. Comcast would be instantly notified.
So again, basically following these steps, then the one thing I need to do with Comcast, at the moment I want to stop paying for cable, that's when I have to say, all right, just give me internet.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And how many people are in your home?
Three.
Okay. And you would ask them for the slowest cable package they offer. You know, you could do fine with 100 megabits, I promise you.
Okay.
Don't let them sell you some big monster cable connection.
Right. No, I've listened to you enough to know that that's a good bit of advice.
Yep. You'll save a lot of money there. So those are the steps. If you can do the Zoom piece and get that moving, you'll be heading toward cutting the cable.
That sounds great. And the UMA, to go back on this, but the UMA, the physical piece of hardware for UMA is a what?
It's a box. We'll put a link up on Computer Talk for UMA, but it's a little box that's going to connect to your network. And then you can buy these like wireless phones that'll sit wherever you'd like to have them sit. Go ahead,
there's
Bob.
A whole selection. I put a link to a page that shows you all sorts of different options. So you can get them that gives you wireless, or you can get them where you can actually plug your analog handsets into it and use what you already have.
It's the box.
Goes back to one of my, sorry.
No, go ahead.
It goes back to one of my original questions. So if I wanted to keep my phone set up the way I like it in the house right now, they're physically plugged into the wall, you know, some analog phones. I mean, they're cordless, but, you know, is there a way to do that?
Yes, possibly.
Well, I have an analog wireless that have five extensions, but it has a base station. So all you would have to do is plug your base station into the UMA, and then it's going to go out to all of your remote wireless handsets.
Right.
Okay.
The UMA turns your physical copper line, which is emulated copper by Comcast, into a voice over IP virtual line. So that's what that box does. And as long as you can connect your old stuff to it, the answer will be yes.
Right, and that's probably going back to my original question. So if I were to put this UMA piece of hardware where the phone line comes into the house, back to the basement again.
Back in the basement, yeah.
I could then have my phone lines pretty much virtually operate like it is now.
I would say generally yes.
Okay.
Yep, just look at the UMA a bit, and that's the key. Look how that works.
Okay, yeah, I'll check that out online. Thank you.
You're welcome, Keith.
Great, well, I appreciate it always, and I love the show.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for calling. All right, we're going to be here till 11 o'clock, so feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Everything we've talked about is posted live over at computertalkwithtab.com. And, of course, we are broadcasting live over on Facebook, over on WTIC's Facebook page. We'll be right back.